The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Okay, I'm going to get more into this at 1 o'clock in the Fastest 15. You might be able to tell I'm fired up and ready to go today. But I just heard in Ursula's newscast about Dow Constein accused of funneling money to one of his political supporters. But we'll get into this in the Fastest 15. Let's be very clear who that political supporter is. David Minard is a local restaurant nightclub operator. 11 women have accused David Minard of sexual misconduct and sexual assault. 11 women. And we have been talking for months now about Dow Constein and what a sleaze he is. You can go back to 2012 when he accidentally sent an email that exposed the affair that he was having. That was well reported in 2012. He's been living with a woman for years and years and years, but he's having an affair. We've gotten all these tips about Dow Constein going out drinking and womanizing every night with his executive protection detail as his personal Uber. And now, as I said, I'll talk in depth because I got so much stuff to get to today. I'll talk in depth at the Fast 15 at 1 o'clock. But Dow Constein is now accused of funneling lucrative King County contracts to companies owned by David Minard, who has been accused by 11 women of sexual misconduct and to sexual assault, you know, wherever the accusations are on the spectrum. And I spent a lot of time a few weeks ago not knowing that this subject was going to come up. But I read all of these stories detailing David Minard and the accusations against him. The fact that Dow Constein is in bed with this guy politically should be worrisome to everybody. And I'm telling you right now, what we have for leadership at King County with Dow Constein and this house of cards that is toppling down around him with the sheriff's department, Uber, the alleged affair years ago, the stuff we're hearing about as he's drinking and womanizing at night, getting contracts to somebody who's an accused sexual predator. So you got that. And then you got the top cop in King County, Mitzi Johanknik, who is a proven liar, who has refused to honor her commitment to come on this show that she made during the campaign. And when somebody is that easily provable as a liar, it throws their character into question. And this is who's running King County right now? Dow Constein and Mitzi Johanknik? And by the way, some of the things that we're working on with Mitzi Johanknik since we have started to expose her lie on this show, the tips that we are getting about her, yeah, we got more coming in the days and weeks to come that we will exclusively present to you as we are working several angles of what's going on in King County right now. But you know what? That is just the tip of the iceberg of your and my problems. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
I told you that we are going to see a tsunami of taxes. Now, understand, you and I pay more in taxes in this state than anybody in our state's history. Adjusted for population and for inflation, we are still spending more on taxes than ever before here in King County and in Washington State. I told you many, many years ago, it has gone on the exact timetable that we have predicted, that the goal is to toll every inch of every road in this state. And indeed, they are taking another step in that direction, as they call it tax per mile. But what they want to do is get a transponder in every one of our vehicles, and then they can adjust the variable tolls. So if you go into downtown they could hit you for $20. If you go to your neighborhood grocery store, it might be 20 cents, but they will tax you for every inch you drive. And Rima Griffith with the State Transportation Commission, she tells Q13 News that they're proving how well this will work.
Is this scalable on a national level? We're not sure. We think a lot of work will have to be done nationally to think about that. But in the meantime, we are demonstrating that it's very feasible at the state level. It's just a question of public acceptance.
And if the public accepts this, it will be the biggest mistake we've ever made, because they will jack up those per mile tolls by time of day faster than can make your head spin. Our eyeballs will look like slot machines. They're spinning so fast. And that's only one of the planned tax increases going on right now. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Another I told you so. They have now taken another step toward tolling until they can get the per mile tax statewide. They want to toll all of downtown Seattle. They call it congestion tolling. Here's the problem. For Democrats, they do not base anything on results. I'm talking about Democrat politicians. They do not measure success by lifting people out of poverty or reducing congestion or getting people off of heroin. They measure success by one thing and one thing only. How much can we tax people? Results? They don't matter. They absolutely do not matter. The only thing they care about is squeezing more blood out of your and my stones. Ugh, I didn't like the way that sounded. I think you know what I'm talking about. So, downtown. Look, I have an ally. You know who's on my side on this? Kashama Sawant.
The reason a lot of people are able to not drive in London is because they have far superior public transportation.
I'll tell you what, if I hear Jenny Durkin compare this to London one more time, then I mean, every time she says that, she gets demonstrably stupider. In cities where you can get anywhere via subway systems that were built 100, 120 years ago, when you were able to do that somewhat affordably, yeah, then you could do the congestion tolling. But you got people here who live out in Lake Stevens and Snohomish. You got people who live down in Auburn and Fife. Why? Because they can't afford Seattle real estate, but they still work up here. And they got to come up here, and they have no mass transit that'll get them here. And so they're going to have to pay a toll every single day. They probably moved way out because they don't have the income to support buying Seattle real estate. And they're the ones who are going to get screwed over. But again, it's not about results. It is about how much can they raise. And with that as mere prelude, I bring you, truly, this is the scariest story I have had for you in the Big Lead in a long, long time.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay, so we've got Seattle wants to toll every road downtown. The state wants to turn every single road upon which we drive into a toll road. And I tell you what, I go out of the country for a couple of weeks and all heck breaks loose. When I've long thought that a state income tax was not going to happen in my lifetime, there was a rather shocking ruling earlier this week. And to help walk me through this, State Senator Steve O'Bann joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
And you're at an airport, so if there's any ambient sound, we'll know what's going on. So I'm serious, Senator. I leave the country for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, it's like a tsunami of taxes is rolling in on us. So tell me what this court decision, this appeals court ruling that could impact an income tax in our state means.
So, Dory, maybe you should never leave the country again.
I never will again, I promise you. Yep.
So there are two legal barriers to an income tax in our state. And the Court of Appeals Division One, which is a Seattle-based Court of Appeals, it took a sledgehammer to one of those barriers. And that first barrier was a 1984 law passed by the legislature. It's been in effect for over 30 years, and it says the local governments may not pass an income tax. If ever there was to be an income tax, it has to be done by the legislature, by the elected people at the state level. So that was struck down by the court. So the only remaining barrier now is a 1930s era court decision in which the court said that our state constitution prohibits a graduated income tax. But we have a Supreme Court. I hope that it does the right thing. But we have a Supreme Court that could, in my view, easily distinguish that case and come up with a new rationale for upholding the Seattle income tax.
Well, yeah, I have no faith that our Supreme Court will do the right thing because I don't believe that they govern by our state constitution. I think that they very much govern by politics, and that's what scares the heck out of me, Senator.
And it's very clear the ruling elite in Seattle and in Olympia, we have one-party state now, they want a state income tax. They're thirsting for more revenue, even though we don't need it, even though we've had record surpluses in revenue over the last 6 years. Still, they're hungering for an income tax. They do it under the name of we have to have a more progressive, less unfair tax system. But, you know, what they want is a new income tax. They don't want to reduce the sales tax or other taxes that are more unfair on the poor and the working poor. So what they're really after is more revenue, and they want it through an income tax, tremendously negative effect on jobs and our economy.
Here's what I said on my show yesterday, and I firmly believe this with all of my heart, that Democrats do not make decisions based on what's best for the people. They don't make decisions on how to reduce gridlock or how to lift the poverty-stricken to the middle class. They don't make decisions how to get people off the streets. Every decision they make seems to be about only one thing, and that is, how do we get more tax money out of the people? And I simply have not seen anything that disproves my perspective on this.
And that I think, is a good segue to another very alarming development, in my view, and that is our attorney general. It's his job. He took an oath to uphold the Constitution, discharge his duties, which is to protect the interests of our state. And whenever we have a state law that is under constitutional attack, as this 1984 law that I mentioned that was struck down by the court, he should step in and defend our laws. And he failed to do so at the trial court level, at the Court of Appeals level. And now he has one more chance to do the right thing, and that would be to weigh in with the state Supreme Court and tell the court not to invalidate this 1984 law that prohibits cities from passing income taxes.
Yeah, but you and I both know that Bob Ferguson will not do that because he aspires to be governor and he has to get the people who see the income tax as their holy grail. He has to have them as potential voters, and he will do nothing to alienate that block. And I think it's very scary. I think Bob Ferguson, and I don't know if I've said this to you before, but I've said many, many times on my show, I think he's the scariest politician I've ever encountered in 24 years on the air, because he does not rule by the law or by the Constitution, but by the political bias of the person he's ruling about or the issue he's ruling about. And when we're dealing with the highest legal office in the state, I find that very frightening.
One could say that many of his decisions and the cases he's taken are all about positioning himself to be the front runner for the Democratic nominee for governor. And I think this is case in point. He doesn't want to take a position against an income tax because, as we said, that is the holy grail. That is absolutely essential to the base of his party.
Well, and we've seen in California, even if they try to sell it as, oh, we're only going to tax the rich, You know, we see people, I think if you're making over $30,000 a year in California, you're paying 4%, and then it gradates up from there. But once they get their foot in this door, they are going to kick it down and use it to extract as much money from as many people as possible in our state. Of that, I have no doubt.
Jesse James said he robs banks because that's where the money is. The money, the tax money is in the middle class. That's where the money is, and that's where income tax will go, is to tax the middle class if we have it in our state.
When does this go before the Supreme Court?
My best guess is that it'll do briefing, oral argument in the January-February range. We won't get a decision, though, probably until after, guess what, the November elections. So we'll probably have a decision after November of 2020.
If they make a ruling that flies in the face of the state constitution, is that something that could be elevated to the U.S. Supreme Court?
No. What the redress for us would be to pass a constitutional amendment that requires two-thirds of the legislature to put it before the people. And so we all know how that would go with our current composition of the legislature. So if the state Supreme Court does what we're afraid they may do, it's the door is wide open for a local income taxes and a state income tax. And because it will be past the 2020 elections, I fear then that there will be really no deterrent to the ruling party, the Democrats, to enact a state income tax in 2021.
You're really scaring me, Senator. You're scaring me a lot.
I wish I could bring better news, but quit leaving the country, Dory.
Yeah, believe me. Okay. All right. Well, safe travels wherever you're going, and I appreciate the update from you.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. State Senator Steve O'Bann joining us. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
And I'm genuinely nervous about what the Democrats are doing to our state. We're getting more money, and what are they doing with it? Gridlock's getting worse, homelessness getting worse, drug abuse getting worse, everything's getting worse. They're not doing anything with it, but that's all they care about, and that's what they cheer, and the others in the media cheer. And I'm just going to tell you what I have coming up. Tom Nelson, the guy who went salmon and halibut fishing in Alaska, he's got an amazing story of what he's dealing with the government. He's going to join us right after Ursula's news. And remember James Holzhauer, Jeopardy James, who had that incredible run on Jeopardy? He's going to join us at 1:30 this afternoon. So we got a huge show put together for you. That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
My man, Tom Nelson from The Outdoor Line. Wait until you hear what he is dealing with. The kind of government nonsense that's coming up right after some news here on the Dory Monson Show. As you know, a few months ago, just a couple of months ago, I went on a little life-changing journey, something I'd never done before. Went up with Brock up to Sitka, Alaska, where we went fishing for king and halibut under the expert tutelage of my friend Tom Nelson. You hear of him every Saturday morning on 710 ESPN Seattle on the Outdoor Line. And he joins us for an incredible story of what he's dealing with right now. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. But you know, you realize now you're gonna have to do my show again. You know,
happy to
my appearance on your show.
I'm happy to. I'm up early on Saturdays. I could. I'm available anytime you need me. Believe me.
All right, deal.
Okay. All right. So now you're gonna have to refresh my memory because you texted me last night and, you know, I do so many topics and interviews, and they kind of get washed away as I move on to the next day. But I just vaguely remember having you on the show about a year ago after you had done a television interview with King Five, as I recall, right?
Absolutely right. And the reason for the interview was, at the time, you recall that the Southern Resident Killer Whale Orca was first and foremost, and we had this tragic, iconic photograph and video of a mother orca pushing around her calf that ended up not surviving because of the lack of Chinook and Puget Sound.
Right.
So King 5 wanted a kind of Puget Sound take on this, and so they sent a crew with me, and they jumped. As they jumped on the boat, there happened to be a few harbor seals in the harbor that hang around my boat like dogs at the dinner table, Dory.
Right.
And to illustrate the fact that these pinnipeds, being the harbor seals and sea lions in Puget Sound, the overpopulation of them are essentially shutting off the killer whale's food. And to illustrate this point, here's one completely habituated to human presence. I had some scraps from a Chinook that I legally harvested the day before.
Right.
And flipped a piece overboard, and it didn't even hit the water. The seal grabbed it. Well, the cameraman and the reporter were thrilled, and they did it too. King 5 aired it, and then the phone started to ring. That's illegal. He can't do that. Gee, golly, gosh. Well, I knew that what I was doing would draw attention to the issue, which is why I did it. Because, Dory, we've had an amendment to the Marine Mammal Protection Act down on the Columbia River.
Yeah.
Because the Columbia River is easier to define. It's a three-sided box. Oregon on the south, Washington on the north, and the Bonneville Dam.
Yeah.
So you can see these critters doing what they do in the Columbia. We have no such geographic or physical advantage in Puget Sound. The problem is more difficult and more subjective, and I'm at a loss to really explain it in any other way than getting in trouble. And getting in trouble is what I've done now, Dory.
Okay, so when you say the phone started to ring, you're talking about viewers who were essentially just being tattletales and said that because you tossed a scrap to a seal that was hanging out, that you had broken a law.
Oh, I haven't just broken a law. if only it was that simple. I returned to my home to find a message later that afternoon, this is now a year ago, from NOAA Enforcement Officer Brian Simpson, who informed me that I was in violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
Wait, he got hold of you. This
would cost me $500.
No, I got to make sure I understand this. He got hold of you the same day that the story aired?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of government efficiency like that.
Well, I'm going to get into the fact that NOAA is efficient when they want to be, but not when they should be. Well, so let's just put a pin in that one for a minute. So I invited Officer Simpson on the radio show so he could talk about it, and he declined that opportunity. And so I said, well, I'm going to decline to pay this $500. Are you sure you want to do that? Absolutely, buddy. Let's go.
Yeah.
So,
let me ask you, Tom.
Last week, in possession of a registered letter from the United States Department of Commerce.
Okay, hold on one second. Before you get to this latest letter, what were your grounds for not paying the $500 fine in your mind?
In my mind, I'm going to use this as a public education piece, Dory.
Okay.
Because the overpopulation of harbor seals and sea lions in Puget Sound are why we are in the fix we are in currently with regard to Chinook abundance. Chinook salmon are the absolute preferred prey item of our southern resident killer whales. They are in dire straits. They're underfed. They're experiencing lack of reproductive success because they can't find enough Chinook to eat. They can't find enough Chinook to eat because, according to NOAA's own research in a paper published by a gentleman named Brandon Chasko, these are not my numbers or conjecture. This is published research by NOAA. The pinnipeds are taking seven times the combined human harvest of salmon and twice what the southern resident killer whales require for survival.
Okay. All right. So you tossed, and what did you toss? It was essentially just a fin.
It was actually a dorsal fin.
A dorsal fin. Okay.
a bony piece that is inedible, and except for harbor seals, of course.
Right.
And or something you'd use for crab bait. Right?
Okay. So we fast forward a year now, and tell me about the registered letter you just received.
The registered letter issued to Mr. Tom Nelson in violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act, count one, facts constituting violation. On or about July 30th, 2018, in Everett, Washington, Tom Nelson did violate the Marine Mammal Protection Act by taking a harbor seal. This is the words they use. By taking a harbor seal in waters or land subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Specifically, Nelson fed a harbor seal during a television news interview. This constitutes a take. So NOAA does not discriminate between feeding and killing of a harbor seal.
Wow. So taking would mean, in any common sense, it would mean killing it, right?
Right. And but take in NOAA's terms, with the you know, the coded federal regulations 2113, take means to harass, hunt, capture, kill, attempt to harass, hunt, capture, or kill. This includes, without limitation, feeding or attempt to feed a marine mammal in the wild. Okay. I would further argue that the harbor, which is man-made, has been excavated, dredged, and has riprap, is an artificial, not a wild body of water. And further, to confuse the act of feeding a single dorsal fin with actually killing a harbor seal?
Right.
It's
insane.
It seems like I'm in a position to have a little bit of fun with the federal government here.
Well, and so now it's gone from $500 that they wanted a year ago to what?
$2,500. But if I cop to this, if I say I took a harbor seal and do it within 30 days, they're going to take 10% off, so I can get away with a mere $2,250.
Well,
I mean, they might as well say $2,249.99, Mr. Nelson. You know,
can I share with my listeners what you said in your text to me last night about the?
Oh, please do. Yeah, absolutely.
You simply said, with a period between each word, I ain't paying.
Nothing, dude. you can't get blood out of a turnip, first and foremost. But the grander point here is, yeah, I'll go spend a night in jail, dude. Before they get a nickel out of me, they can go ahead and lock me up, because we need to publicize this issue. Now, I'm not advocating wide open seasons on harbor seals.
Right.
I'm not.
No, I get that.
But there's a problem here. And the problem is, and furthermore, NOAA has been an impediment to a lot of our fisheries, just because now our fisheries come under their purview because of the Endangered Species Act. Now hang with me here for just a second.
Okay, quick.
Because our hatcheries under the Endangered Species Act have to be permitted, each one of our hatcheries has to make sure that they fall under, you know, they're doing things right. And so they have to file what's called a Hatchery Genetic Management Plan, or HGMP. These have all been submitted duly by the state of Washington, submitted to NOAA. NOAA has drugged their feet, approving these, reviewing them, and getting them back. And so several of our hatchery operations have now been closed by non-governmental organizations that have sued the state of Washington because NOAA hasn't approved their paperwork.
Wow.
Further, a fishery in California this year was delayed because NOAA couldn't get their paperwork done. And I will quote from a letter from the National Marine Fisheries Service: because of the severely truncated schedule this year, NMFS, NOAA anticipate the rule will not be in place in time for fisheries to open as scheduled along the West Coast. NOAA can't get their homework done in time for us to do fisheries, in time for the state to be insulated from litigation, and yet they can find the time
to go after you,
to hook me,
yeah,
for throwing a dorsal fin to a harbor seal.
Okay, I only have literally about 30 seconds here. Here's what I'm worried about you as a friend. Could they screw you over by saying, don't give this guy an Alaska fishing license, don't give him fishing licenses in this state? I mean, how vindictive will they be if you don't pay this fine?
So since this is civil and it's not a criminal violation, they can't do any of that.
Okay. All right, that's good.
So and I know that you're asking purely out of the milk of human kindness, and not because you have a freezer full of salmon and halibut that you're worried about not being able to refill next year.
That's right. I got to get back at it,
I know,
Tom.
It was just the milk of human kindness, and it had nothing to do with your personal.
No, it was story. As a friend I was asking. Come on, man. All right. Well, please
keep
me posted.
I'll keep you posted.
And I get some of that smoked salmon tomorrow. Is that right?
I'm dropping you off some smoked salmon tomorrow. You bet, buddy.
Okay. Do you want me to trade out some?
I'll be the guy in handcuffs.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The leg irons. I'll hear you clanking from down the hallway. All right. Hang in there, man.
All right, brother.
Okay. You can see Tom, theoutdoorline.com, and you can hear him every Saturday morning on 710 ESPN Seattle, The Outdoor Line, where he does just a great, great job. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on The Dory Monson Show. Man, the Donald Trump controversy continues because at his rally last night in North Carolina, the crowd started chanting, "Send her back," when he started talking about Ilhan Omar. And I just wonder, for all the people who are just outraged over this, do you have any clue about Ilhan Omar and how she got into this country and the almost certainty that she married her brother while she was married to another man? There are documents that show her husband's birth date being the same as her brother's. I find her a very disturbing character, that when she weaseled her way into political prominence in the United States, that her brother-in-law got a political appointment to the cabinet of the new president of Somalia, which is the most corrupt nation on earth. Every year they rank the most corrupt nations on earth, and Somalia is always dead last. Sometimes North Korea's tied with Somalia for dead last. But I find it all very disturbing. So I'm not a big fan of Ilhan Omar, but oh, what happened last night at the rally?
When asked whether she supported Al-Qaeda, that's our enemy. That's our enemy. They are a very serious problem that we take care of, but they always seem to come along somewhere. She refused to answer. She didn't want to give an answer to that question. Omar blamed the United States for the crisis in Venezuela. I mean, think of that one. And she looks down with contempt on the hardworking Americans, saying that ignorance is pervasive in many parts of this country. And obviously, and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Okay, with that "send her back" chant, oh man, it has been nonstop. CNN, MSNBC. Because Trump didn't encourage it, although he started it with his tweet a couple days earlier. And look, as of now, she's an American citizen, and you can't send American citizens away because they're exercising their First Amendment rights. Now, I do wish the media that was so outraged at the "send her back" chance, I wish they would investigate the growing mountain of evidence of fraudulent documents that brought her to this country. But they won't. Hey, we got a lot of good stuff in the Fast 15 next.